Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. We're going to be in the New Testament this morning. Kind of deep into the New Testament in a book called 1 Thessalonians. So the 1 Thessalonians is probably about halfway through the New Testament or so. And it's after that run of all those books. It's like, what's the order again of the books? It's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, then 1 Thessalonians. So Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. If you hit 2 Thessalonians, obviously you've gone too far. Back up a little bit. Or if you're in the Timothys or Titus, back up just a little bit. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians this morning, way at the end of the book, chapter 5, and we're looking at basically a verse and a half today, so verse 12 and the first part of verse 13, and we're going to get right to it this morning. So let's pause a moment, let's ask God's blessing over this time, and then we will read and study together. Let's pray. Excuse me. God, we just take a moment to pause, and we just say thank you for your word. Thank you for time and space to study your word. Thank you for the Spirit that we know has been active in writing the word and now for us to understand the word. We pray over this time. We pray that you would speak as all that you would want to say and help us to hear all that you would want us to hear. Lord, we lift this time to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Westview, we're gonna spend the next several weeks here in the end of 1 Thessalonians, which is Paul's very first letter that he wrote. And at the end of 1 Thessalonians, he strings together all these many short little phrases, these pearls of wisdom about how we, the church, and he's writing to the church in Thessalonica, how we, the church, can live well in relationships, how we can live well in relationships with God. And particularly for us here, we're going to study how we can live well in relationships with each other. An observation that maybe you have made as well, that the last 18 months or so has wreaked havoc on our communal life together. Yes? That not only has our ability to connect with each other been disrupted, but the way in which we associate with each other as human beings, that has been on the fritz a little bit as well. Have you noticed this? Yes? Has anybody seen, now that they're allowing fans back into the stadiums over the last several months, have you seen the way fans are treating each other? How many videos have gone viral of people just hitting, literally beating each other? It's like we don't even know how to associate with one another. You know, we're a fan of this team and a fan of this team, and they're just, Google it. I mean, it's crazy how we have this, the last 18 months has just sort of wreaked havoc, and how do we live life together? And no one has been immune to this. Not one organization has been immune to this. Not a business, not a school, not the Big C Church, and certainly here at Westview, we have felt this as well. You know, one of our core values here at Westview is that we are authentic in relationships. That one of the core distinctives of who we are at Westview is that we have this hunger and a genuine desire and appreciation for living, not just in relationships with each other, but living in real relationship with one another. That Westview is a place where we, across the generations, that we want to live in community with each other. Now, in some ways, we are a diverse community, not in every way, but in a number of ways, we are a diverse community. And what we've tried to emphasize over and over again throughout the years is that even though we might be diverse, we want to be united in our pursuit of Christ and in our growing in Christ and in our representation of Christ. And just like every other business and just like every other school and just like every other church, the last 18 months has been difficult. We've navigated a hard path. And at times we have been physically cut off from one another. And still, there's still distance. I'm looking at our online friends. We miss each other. We miss being in actual relationship with each other in the sense that we're physically together. We're still cut off from one another in a sense. And there's been ideological differences that have at times pulled us apart. And so what we're going to do today, and what we're going to do this fall, is we're going to put our feet down, we're going to take a stand, and we're going to declare something together. We're going to declare that we are a recovering Christian community that is recovering Christian community. Catch all that? Let me break that down. We are a recovering Christian community in the sense that we have been dealt some blows. We've gotten rocked a little bit. Just like everyone else, we've been rocked. We've been rocked by these external circumstances that has disrupted our internal relationships. There's certainly been some ups and there's certainly been some downs, but we are naming today that we are moving forward, that we are indeed a recovering Christian community. That is recovering Christian community. And by that I mean that we are proactively setting forth to recover the essence of what it means to live in relationship with one another, the essence of what it means to live in community with each other, not just community, but to live in Christian community with each other. That we'll use these principles here from the Apostle Paul that he shares at the end of 1 Thessalonians, that we are going to recover and we're going to build up again and we're going to restore this community that we so value, that we have had for so long and that we have enjoyed in the past and that we will enjoy far into the future. We are a recovering Christian community that is recovering Christian community. Westview, you up for that? I pray so. And we're going to jump right into it this morning. Now, I have not written all the future sermons just yet, so I might repeat myself a few times in this, but I would dare say today, this is going to be the most important one. I might say that again next week. I might say that the week after. But today, this might be the most important piece as we start this journey together of recovering Christian community. Today, we're going to talk about something that Aretha Franklin, right? She sang this, didn't she? You can hear it in your head. I'm not going to sing it for you. Why not? Come on now. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means. That's how it goes, right? Now, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Respect. Pull out the Word of God. You have it open. Leave it open as we read and study today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Amen. I wish I was making this up. I was in seminary, and it was just kind of a funky season. There's some tension going on between some students and a professor in a class, and I can picture the classroom. I know what classroom we were in. I don't remember exactly the class, but I'm pretty sure I remember the professor. But what I do remember is this, is that there was one student in particular that was just extremely frustrated with this professor. And so one day, she decided to make a point or make a spectacle. And she showed up to class one day, and as the professor began to lecture, she turned around in her seat and sat with her back to this professor the entire lecture. And during all the conversation and questions and discussion, not once acknowledging him. I wish I was making this up. The church that I served before here, North Holland, one day I went to the mailbox and I got the mail, and there was a regular sized envelope that had my name written as the receiver of the envelope, and There's no return address. So I opened it up, and out came a single sheet of paper. A short, typewritten paragraph was there that blasted and cut away at who I was and my sense of, and my leadership as a pastor. And what was more is they took a shot at Heather too. And it was unsigned, of course. I wish I was making this up. A colleague of mine, another pastor, stood up before his congregational meeting, and as he looked out, he saw a number of families that he had not seen in worship for years. But these families had decided to come together as one voice and to offer all the complaints that they had about the direction of the church. And so what must have felt for him like standing in front of the firing squad, for 3 hours he stood there at a congregational meeting as they complained about him and his and the direction of the church. I mean, I wish I was making this up. What was it, about 2 years ago or so? There was a video that went viral from the Waukee High School parking lot as high school football players were ridiculing and teasing and bullying and physically intimidating another student who was on the autism spectrum. I mean, I wish I was making this up, but this summer I was on sabbatical, right? And one of the things I did for self-care was I got off Facebook, and I still haven't gone back. I don't know if I will ever. But the craziest thing happened. Near the end of sabbatical, I had this thought. I was like, has the world become a better place? Because I was no longer inundated with all the venomous memes and the verbal vitriol that people are just spewing at each other constantly because they don't agree with someone about something about religion or social agendas or politics or anything like that. And I honestly, being away from that, I honestly thought the world was becoming a better place. Silly me, right? I mean, I wish I was making any of this up. And there's more where that came from. And the question that I just want to ask is this. When did it become okay for us to so disrespect each other? When did it become okay for us to go out of our way to tear each other down? Plain and simple respect is the first piece of recovering Christian community. And at the heart of respect is for each one of us is just to take a step back and to take a step down and to humble ourselves and to acknowledge the intrinsic value of every single other person. That not only am I a beloved child of God, but so is everybody else. That everyone is made in the image of God, everyone is loved unconditionally by God, and everyone is of utmost value to God. We'll say more about our identity with God in a little bit. Now, we read this scripture passage, and I think we're going to notice here that Paul insinuates that respect here involves respecting those in leadership. So in just a little bit, we'll talk more about respecting each other, but we're going to start here with what Paul says in this passage about respecting our leaders, because I think that can help set the foundation for respecting one another. And so look here with me at what Paul says. Right, there are three different pieces when it comes to respect here. We are to respect those who work hard among you. Friends, leading is hard work. Leading is hard work at any time, let alone in tumultuous times. Right? And in tumultuous times, when we're in uncharted territory, you know, there's no precedent. There's no roadmap. There's no points of past reference that we can draw back on. Okay, this is how we're going to get through this. Those who are leading, especially right now, they're doing the best that they can. They're working hard. And if I had a nickel for over the last 18 months for how many times I have said, we're doing the best we can. Paul says, respect those who are working hard among you. And he says, respect those who are over you in the Lord. Those who have authority, those who have been given responsibilities. Not for the best of themselves, but have been given responsibilities for the greater good of the whole. In our case, those who have been given responsibilities for the greater good of everyone in this congregation. Those who with great care and concern are bringing leadership and seeking God's will for the best of all, Paul says they're worthy of respect. And Paul says also, respect those who admonish you. Now, admonish, that's a funny word. That's kind of a harsh word, I always think. But the word admonish here means literally to give instruction. Right? We call ourselves Christians. We bear the name of Christ. And so there is a way of Christ. And here Paul is saying those leaders, those people who are helping lead us in the way of Christ, who are guiding us in the way of Christ, those people who say, yeah, you might be coloring outside the lines just a little bit. Let's correct that. Let's get you back in. Those people who are leading us, who are admonishing us, who are correcting us and guiding us, Paul says they too, as they are teaching us in the way of Christ, keeping us on track, they too are worthy of respect. When people faithfully do their best to faithfully fulfill these leadership roles, Paul is saying they're worthy of respect. And you know, it does not matter if they're an elder or a deacon. It doesn't matter if they could be a school superintendent over a school district. They could be a mayor or a governor who has to make decisions for thousands, even millions of people. It might even be a president who we maybe vehemently agree or disagree with. But leaders who work hard, leaders who have authority, leaders who aim to keep us moving forward to the greater good, they're not only just to receive our respect, but Paul even goes further. Check out the first part of verse 13. He says, hold them in highest regard. He literally, it means they're to hold them in highest regard, exceedingly, abundantly, to not just meet them where they're at, but to lift them up and not tear them down. Paul makes the connection that respect is love. We understand that love as we understand the love of Christ in our lives. Now, before we go any further in this message, I need to pause here just for a moment. And I just need to confess something to you. Because I have to be honest, when I preach these words that I've just shared with you, I have to be honest, I feel a little awkward saying this. I feel a little sheepish saying this. And I don't think I can move forward this morning with integrity into the rest of the message without acknowledging this to you, without confessing this to you, is that I have to confess that there's been times where I have not been respectful of leaders. That either in my thoughts or in my words, I've not always respected presidents past or present. I've not always respected our governor or the civil leaders who make decisions. I've not always been respectful, and I have to confess that to you. I have to be honest with you this morning. I don't think I'm the only one in the room that has to confess that. But I have to confess that to you today if I'm going to preach with integrity this morning. And I want to confess that, and I also just want to name that I've been on the other sides of this as well. I've sat on a long phone call several months ago with a school superintendent who had just made a very difficult decision for their school district. It was a highly unpopular decision, and he was feeling it. He was feeling the heat. He was feeling pushback. There was petitions. And I sat with him and tried to support him and encourage him. So I've been on that side of it. And I have been in the seat of leadership in a difficult time. And I've had, along with our governing board, had to make some very hard decisions. Decisions that were not popular from either side of it. Heard the pushback, heard the feedback from both sides of it. Decisions that have resulted, unfortunately, sometimes in a loss of relationships. And I grieve that. So I've been on all sides of it. I have been the one not respected, and I've been the one disrespected. I get that. I just need to name that to you this morning. Because as we think about recovering Christian community, it starts here with respect. And having been on all sides of that, what I'm asking for us is this, and I'm preaching to myself, I'm asking myself this, I'm asking you this as well, that in an effort to live into Paul's words here, I'm asking us to respect our leaders, and I'm asking us just to take a deep breath, to hit the pause button, to give yourself a 20-second time out, to just take a deep breath, and to respect those who are doing the very best that they can to live into the responsibilities that have been given to them. I'll commit to that. I'm going to ask you to commit to that as well. Friends, if we are serious about recovering Christian community, these words of Paul compel us not just to respect our leaders, but they do trickle down then for us to respect each other, to respect one another. And honestly, this is not a new struggle for the church. The struggle with respecting each other, even within the church, this did not begin because of a global pandemic. This did not begin in a divisive political atmosphere. The church has been struggling with this from the very beginning. Now, the categories are a little different. It wasn't Republican and Democrat then. It wasn't vaccine or anti-vaccine then. It wasn't ISU or Iowa then or anything like that. It was Jew and Gentile. Jew and Gentile. Jews who had, you know, they were the descendants from Israel, and it was Gentiles, which is basically anybody else who's not a Jew. Both Jews and Gentiles, they were coming into the church. They were both coming into Christ, and so they are having a new identity, right? They are having a new identity as Christians, but there is difficulty getting past that original classification of Jew and Gentile. These classifications, these categories, we'll say more about it. They're not always inherently bad or wrong, but for these Jews and Gentiles who are coming into the church, they're no longer the defining piece. It's no longer their defining identity, but the early church is having a hard time getting past this. You know, the Jews who became Christians, they're saying, these Gentile Christians, they should adopt our practices. They should observe our laws and our Sabbath and circumcision and those sorts of things. And the Gentile Christians are saying, we always feel like we're second-class citizens and inferior because you descended from Israel, and we've got a whole mixed bag of our heritage. And here's how Paul, and here's how the other early church leaders, here's how they address this. Respect. Respect each other, not because of who they were, but because of who Christ is within them. Think about it. Jews and Gentiles, they come to salvation in the same way, through the work of Jesus Christ, by being in Christ. And when anyone is in Christ, the differences of the past do not carry forward into the present. Right? Galatians 3, 27, 28. We'll put this on the screen here. Paul is talking to another church in Galatia. Paul's talking to Christians, and he's saying this. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, right? Jew or Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. See, before being in Christ, those categories of Jew and Gentile, that's what established a person's fundamental identity. But now that they're in Christ, this new identity became primary, and all the other categories and classifications, they become secondary. These are not Jews who became Christians. They were Christians who were born Jewish. These are not Gentiles who are now Christians. They are Christians who were born Gentile. Notice the precedent here. You see the difference there? What comes first? Christ. Christian. Before any category, before any classification, before any label, in Christ comes first. And for Jews and Gentiles, and friends, for you and for me today, our fundamental identity is in Christ and not in a category. Let me give you another brief illustration. I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm Dutch. Did you know that? Not just by the, I mean, you probably can tell by the way I live and how I spend money, right? But my last name has a van in it, and it has all these vowels that make a whole completely different sound. I'm Dutch, but I'm a Christian first who is of Dutch heritage. I'm in Christ. In Christ comes first. And when we see one another in that light, Christ first, when we see first and foremost in Christ, before we look at one another and see Republican or Democrat, before we look at one another and see mask or anti-mask, before we look at one another and see ISU or Iowa or you know, NFL Vikings, I got my purple on today, or Packers, right? Yes, Linda, I'm looking at you, right? Before we look at each other and see all these labels and these categories and these classifications, when a Christian community, when in a Christian community such as this, those categories are secondary. In Christ comes first. And when we can look at one another and see Christ first, then we are all the more ready and all the more eager and all the more able to respect one another. See, what gets us in trouble is this. What gets us in trouble is when we look at the category first. When we look around and we look at the classification or the label first, that's what gets us in trouble. That's when the hardship comes. When I look around and say, oh, Republican, oh, Democrat, oh, progressive, oh, liberal, oh, this or that, or even the color of our skin, whatever it is, when we use a label first and we use a category first, that's what gets us in trouble. We use Christ first. When we're able to look around and say, yeah, you know what, Linda and I, we maybe disagree on what team is the best team in the NFL, but that's my sister in Christ. And I love her and I respect her. And we look around and we say, that is my brother in Christ. That's my sister in Christ. We are in Christ. And when we see one another as being in Christ first, then we're all the better able to understand who we are and respect ourselves. We respect one another. We respect God. And we can better understand our shared calling in seeking first the kingdom of God. We are in Christ, and so we respect each other. And friends, I believe that's how we change the world around us. Can I share one more example from how the early church speaks into this whole respect thing for us today? You know, Roman world dominated the New Testament landscape. And in Rome, everyone had their place. Status was everything. And your status dictated where you sat in the theater, what clothes you wore, where you lived in the city, and where you sat around the dinner table. Status dictated everything. A person was reminded of their status everywhere, all the time, and thus they were constantly, everyone was constantly reminded of their dignity or their lack thereof. I mean, this status designation is how Rome kept order. Think about Rome. Rome, the big bad Rome. They're conquering people from the north, south, east, and the west. They're conquering all these different people with all these different histories and all these different civilizations and all these different ceremonies and all the different heritages. They're all these different people who they get conquered, and all of a sudden, you're Roman. And so how do you keep all this mixed bag of people? How do you keep them under control? How do you keep order? Status and classification. Early Christians were a headache to Rome. Not because they were stirring up violence, not because they weren't paying their taxes, but do you know how the early Christians really subverted the established order of Rome? Do you know how, in effect, how they helped cripple an empire? It was through respect. All they did is they followed the teachings of Jesus. Jesus, who gave respect to every person, particularly those who were the outcast or the least of these. What did Jesus do? He touched and healed the lepers. Jesus helped the beggars. Jesus invited a hated tax collector to be his disciple, and he ate at tax collectors' homes. Jesus broke bread with prostitutes and sinners. Jesus gave dignity to women and more. Over and over again, Jesus plowed through the social order and extended love and affirmed dignity, and he gave and offered respect to all people. And Jesus' earliest followers did the same. In a Roman society that was obsessed with status and rank, a society where everyone had a label, everyone was in a category, everyone was sorted out according to their value or their lack thereof, where the way of Jesus Christ and the way of the earliest believers was to show no partiality. And so when they would gather together for a meal, which we know they did often, it was not you sit here, you sit here, you sit here, you sit here, you sit here based on their status or their rank. There was one class of people, and it was the class of Christ. And so around the table, you had an equestrian sitting next to a fisherman. You had a former centurion sitting next to a former leper. You had a master sitting next to the slave that they owned. Christians disrupted Rome's order by just respecting one another,
by looking beyond the categories and the status rank and seeing each other for who they were equals in Christ. Friends, can we do the same today? In a world that is so charged right now, where labels precede anything and everything else, I wonder if we could do that here today. I wonder if that could start here at Westville. I wonder if we could live into that vision we have about rest in Christ, about identity in Jesus Christ, and that when we look at one another, we don't see the categories that we are so quick and so apt to put on one another, but that when we look at one another, we see another beloved person of God who is redeemed by Jesus and empowered by the Spirit. We see one another in Christ as no better, no lesser, no greater, no less significant, but equal in Christ and worthy of respect. And I believe that if we could start that right here, imagine if we could take that into the world and what that could do. Over sabbatical, I was able to attend a powerful conference in Nashville, Tennessee. And at this conference, it was about some of the stuff we're talking about today. It was about the Roman world and the New Testament and the Apostle Paul, all this Roman history and new church history. You better believe I was eating this stuff, right? I could talk hours about this conference. It was so good. But at this conference, they offered us a challenge. They offered a challenge. Because they were talking about how Christians disrupted the Roman order. And guess what? It wasn't through revolts. Guess what? You might want to write this down. It was not through a Facebook post. It was through respect. It was about seeing one another as equals in Christ, first, foremost, and only. And we were challenged at that conference, and I want to share this challenge with you today. It comes out of Philippians 2, 3, and 4. We're going to put that on the screen as well. Philippians 2, this is, again, the Apostle Paul now talking to the church in Philippi. He says this, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others." Here's the challenge, Westview. That whenever we walk into a room, and I don't care what room it is, I don't care if it's the classroom, I don't care if it's the doctor's office, I don't care if it's your office space, I don't care if it is your neighborhood, I don't care if it's the worship center, I don't care what room it is. But if we walk into that room and the first thing we do is we size one another up and we label somebody and we think ourselves as better than them, what we're doing in that moment is we're just subverting back into the way of Rome. And so the challenge is this, that we walk into a room and we look at one another and we immediately consider others better than ourselves. And we see one another for who they are in this space, that they are a child of God. And that's my brother, and that's my sister in Christ. And if we can walk into a room and consider others better than ourselves, we look at them as our brother or sister in Christ, my friends, that is how we will change this world around us. And if we do that, we could then cripple the stronghold of categories and the stronghold of disrespect that is all around us. Westview, I pray that we can start that here in this space, that we can humble ourselves and we can walk into one another, into this room, and we look at each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let it begin here. Let it begin with us. Let us respect one another, our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Pray with me, please. Loving God, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. You have made us to be co-heirs of this great inheritance of eternal life. God, we thank you that in Christ we are all brothers and sisters in the faith. We are family. We are one in the Spirit. And so, God, help us to have the same mind among us as that of Christ, a spirit of humility and a spirit of looking to the best of one another before ourselves. Help us to respect one another, and in doing so, respect the work you have done in us, and in doing so, respecting you. God, we pray that you would hear our prayers this morning for our community right here at Westview Church, that today as we think about respect, that and as we think about all the stuff in the coming weeks, that we can continue to grow as we want to recover the joy and the gift that it is to live in Christian community with each other. And as we pray for ourselves this morning, God, we also certainly pray for every other gathering of your people, for all the other congregations, for all the others who witnessed Jesus Christ. But even beyond that, God, we pray for our communities. We pray for our neighborhoods, our schools, our businesses, cities, states, our nation, our world, that each of us, that we can just start to get beyond all the things that divide us, and we can reclaim the goodness of living life well with each other. God, would you also hear our prayer this morning for those in need? Whether it's sickness or loss or grief, uncertainty, you know, jobs concerns, relationship issues, anxiety, fear, whatever it is, anything that's laying heavy on the lives of those we know and love, we lift them to you this day. And we know, God, that you know every need. And we know, God, that you are the Almighty God. You can intervene. And as we lift our eyes to you, we humbly ask that you would be our help and you would be our strength and you would be our refuge, our ever-present help in time of need. God, we lift all this to you in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.